Well, we gathered and we gathered hard. Gather Round was an absolute sensation. The second time round was better than the first time round. I did miss the first one, but from what they tell me, the second version was even better than the first. So if you missed it, you missed out, you're at home watching on TV, book now. I know it's expensive. I know it's involves a bit of travel and those sorts of things, but book early, get it done. The middle weekend of the school holidays has to be. It's the only one that makes sense. So make sure you get across there. Thanks for tuning in to The Field. My name is JJ. The best thing about Gather Round from my perspective, and I think it rivals anything that's on the AFL calendar, grand final included, because it's 18 footy clubs spread across one city with 18 different fan bases, wearing their colours as a badge of honour, getting around the CBD, getting out to places like Mount Barker, absolutely taking over the parade there in Norwood. It was absolutely sensational. It was better than I had even imagined it would be. Of course, I lived in Adelaide for a long time. I know the city can light up for the Fringe Festival and a few other different things, but tell you what, Gather Round is absolutely amazing. I think I've said absolutely a few times. Anyway, on today's show, going to get stuck into a few different things. I want to talk about Isaac Heaney. He's been very, very topical early in the season. Of course, he's the in-form player in the competition. I want to talk about what it looks like for him moving forward. Taylor Adams came back into that team last weekend. Callum Mills will make his return at some point, as will Luke Parker. So is there a squeeze coming when it comes to the Swans midfield? The Bulldogs, I want to talk about them. Are they going through a mini rebuild? Are they starting to look toward 2025 and 2026 in particular with their list and some of the decisions that they've made? I think we've been focused on the wrong players in terms of selection. We've been talking about McRae and Daniel and not about the young guys who are being prioritised. And also, finally, a 150-year rule in the AFL that needs to be changed today. After the weekend's events, it needs to be changed immediately. So we'll get to that a little bit later. Just back to Gather Round before I move on. I had a few hours spare on Saturday morning and a couple of hours spare on Sunday morning. You could not walk 100 metres without bumping into someone affiliated with the AFL. You know, some people I knew well, some I didn't know that well, but you stop and you're courteous and you have a bit of a conversation, and it's quite remarkable. You know, Adelaide's a big city, but there's only so many hotels all scattered throughout the city. Everyone's often making their way to the Adelaide Oval across the bridge. So you're stopping, you're chatting, and the sentiments are the same. You know, how good is this? How great is it to have everyone from the AFL community, you know, tens of thousands of fans involved as well? You know, it's an absolute playground for young kids who are hunting, or who were hunting, autographs and photos, selfies, all those types of things, getting their jumpers signed. I mean, I saw, you know, I went for a walk a couple of times. Sunday morning, I got up and went for a walk before I snuck out to Mount Barker for the Gold Coast Greater Western Sydney game. And, you know, I saw Nick Dacos and Isaac Quaynor trying to grab a quiet coffee, which was problematic for them because they had Pies fans following them everywhere. I saw Tommy McCartan and a few of the Swans boys crossing the street, bumped into Sean Burgoyne. Now, I'm not name dropping here. I'm just telling you how it was. If you go to Adelaide for Gather Round next year, and there's no doubt about it, Adelaide deserves to have it for, let's just say, the short to medium term. There's no point saying they deserve it forever, because we've seen what it looks like when it comes to the MCG having the grand final basically forever. There's no need to go down that path and have it for 50 or 100 years, but certainly for the next 5 years, Adelaide deserves to have Gather Round. It was really cool to get out to Mount Barker on two occasions as well. Unfortunately, I didn't get to the parade and see some AFL footy there, but I was able to get out to Mount Barker twice. Unbelievable facility. The surface was immaculate. They had the LED screens, the LED fencing. You know, they put plenty of effort in terms of what was going on behind the goals on the hill. There was plenty of seating, I believe. The AFL just purchased a lot of the stuff from the Formula One Grand Prix, the seating, some of the broadcast booths as well. It was a little warm in the radio box, but it was certainly a great view and great for young people in particular, great for all spectators, but amazing for young people in particular. You're able to get quite close and personal with, you know, the Giants and the Suns players on the Sunday and the West Coast and the Sydney players on the Saturday. You know, you can see them warm up from 10 or 15 metres away. You can see them walking through the crowd to get back to their change rooms. You know, if you hung around long enough, you could see them and get photos with them as they started to get changed and do what they needed to do to get back to the airport. So, you know, great for young people in regional areas. I know Mount Barker is not that far away, but, you know, it's hard for them to, a lot of people don't get the access to AFL players in the city and those sorts of things. So it was very cool to see that and be a part of that. So really enjoyed both games at Mount Barker. Hopefully next year I can get out to the Barossa where they tell me there'll be a game of footy. Now, I want to get into these three topics quickly. Not here for a long time. We're here for a good time. Isaac Heaney, his numbers to start the season have been superb. 28 disposals per game. He still kicked the 8 goals in 5 games. He's an attacking mid, gets forward, 5 tackles. We know he's physical, almost 6 inside 50s to go along with those goals. He's around 8 clearances a game. He's almost had a perfect blend of contested possession and uncontested possession. So he's doing his hard work on the inside and then able to spread and get involved on the outside as well. And he's had 7 goal assists. So when you package that up, you know, 28 times he's touching the footy, 7 goal assists, so more than a goal assist a game. He's banging the ball inside 50 on 6 occasions per game, and he's going at about 1.3, 1.4 goals per game. So Heaney's numbers are the best in the competition. He has been All-Australian. We shouldn't forget that. We can't dismiss him as someone who's completely jumped out of the ground. In 2022, when the Swannies made the grand final, he kicked 49 goals and he averaged about 16.5 disposals per contest. But his impact and his consistency being a midfielder is unparalleled. And it's certainly far greater than what it was when he was playing high half forward. I've spoken on this show about him, you know, maybe not reading the game as well as some half forwards, some crafty half forwards. You think about a Luke Bruce or a Tommy Lynch, who I used to play with in Adelaide. They read the game before it happens. They predict things and often they're right and they're able to get in space because of that reason. Maybe he doesn't see the game like that and he has to rely on his physical tools too much. He makes it athletics sometimes. But in the midfield, it's see ball, get ball for him. He's able to deal with big bodies in the midfield because he's about 6'1", 6'1 and a half. He's a physical guy, probably weighs close to 90 kilos. We don't know how much they weigh anymore. But the conversation has already started. So Rowbottom's a really contested, defensive-minded midfielder. Pretty much can't play anywhere else. Leads the league in tackles, so he's not going anywhere. Chad Warner's a really aggressive, attacking, hard-running, ball-winning midfielder who maybe could play half forward, maybe could play wing. I don't think he could play halfback, but he's a midfielder. And then you've got Callum Mills, you've got Luke Parker, and you've got Taylor Adams, who Adams has returned. And the ironic part of that was we were told one of the reasons or major reasons for his decision to defect from Collingwood to Sydney was the opportunity and the promise perhaps to play midfield time. Well, he started the game inside forward 50. He played some time in the midfield, but that may not pan out for him. And when Mills comes back and Parker come back, all I'll say to Johnny Longmire, and I know he doesn't watch the show, but someone get a message to him. Isaac Heaney's going nowhere. He stays in the middle. He's first picked in your midfield group. Don't move him because he's the most flexible. Move someone else. Make Luke Parker go and play as a small to medium marking contest winning forward. He's capable. He's a great goal kicking midfielder. He can go down there and play as a 60% forward, 40% midfielder. Or Callum Mills is super versatile. He can play half back. He can play on the wing. He can play as your half forward coming up to the stoppage, which the Swans like to do a lot. They do it with Tom Papley, but he can do that. Isaac Heaney goes nowhere. 28 disposals per game, 8 clearances, 6 inside 50s, goals, goal assists. He has to stay there. He's not the Brownlow Medal favourite or among the favourites for no reason. So John Horse, he stays in the midfield. It's as simple as that. Now, on to the Doggies. They were unable to get the job done against Geelong on Saturday night. They made it close. They were competitive. But from where I was sitting in the eastern stand of Adelaide Oval, I thought the Cats were in control for most of the night. They were certainly in front for most of the night. They almost broke the back of the Dogs. Credit to the Dogs for hanging tough and almost pinching that one. But I'm wondering whether the Doggies are going through deliberately talking about a mini rebuild or a restructuring of the group. So a lot of the conversation's been about Jackson McRae, you know, not getting picked and then being the sub, Caleb Daniel being subbed out, Caleb Daniel being the sub. A lot of the conversation's been about that. There's been a little bit of conversation about Riley Sanders and Sam Darcy, not much conversation about Harvey Gallagher and a couple of the other young guys who are playing. But maybe those former All-Australians in McRae and Daniel, we know what they can bring to the table. Was I surprised Daniel's been the sub and then subbed out? Yes, very. I still think he's in their best team. Was I surprised about McRae? No. Because you know what he can bring to the table. He'll find the footy for you. He'll create. He'll do his thing. He's a handballer more than a kicker. He can be a creative kicker. He won't score the footy a lot. He might not set up a lot of scores from his disposals, but he can be involved in the game. And he's a very good player when things are going well for him. But remember this. Aaron Norton signed up long-term. Jamara Ugle-Hagan is likely to re-sign, they say. And those guys are both young. I think 24 and 22. Darcy showed signs against the Cats. He's even younger. They've got Croft, who was a father-son pickup in the offseason. James O'Donnell looks a real player in the back half, still playing his trade in the VFL. So is Luke Beveridge, deciding to blood these young guys, stick with these young guys, prioritise these young guys, and maybe even cast an eye toward 25 and 26, 2025 and 2026. That's not to say the Dogs can't be competitive and won't be competitive in 2024, but have the Dogs as a club decided internally to commit to the young guys, Gallagher and Sanders and Darcy and these other types, to help drive them forward? I've seen it happen. It happened at Geelong. They took a half step back when Lachie Henderson retired and Harry Taylor went out of the team and other guys sort of stepped aside. Luke Dalhouse, Jack Stephen, and Sam DeConing comes in, and Max Holmes comes into the team, and then Ollie Henry comes into the team, and these young guys come in and they win a premiership in 22 when it was expected they'd go backward. They were largely expected to regress again in 24. They're unbeaten. So what can happen when you bring younger guys into the group? Maybe early days, immediately, it can be a bit of pain, but 6, 10, 15, 30 games later, you can start to see the benefits. And if you've got your superstars like Norton and Ugle-Hagan and Bontempelli, who are not going to be over the hill when you get to that point, then maybe you're setting yourself up for genuine success. The questions for them are Bailey Smith and Tim English. Now, Smith, I believe, is all bar gone. So what's coming back there? Top 10 pick? Top 15 pick? Draft gurus will know more than me. What is Bailey Smith worth? I think he's worth a lot. I think he's a fantastic player who's got a lot still to offer. A lot still to offer. Tim English, what do you do with him? A restricted free agent. Would this be a situation where the Dogs might be okay for him to go, but still match the offer, Jeremy Cameron style, to force the hand of, say, West Coast to pay a couple of first rounders for Tim English? Worst case, if he's to go as a free agent and they don't match it, they'll still get a nice first round pick for him. So plenty of things to be excited about for the Dogs, but maybe we've got to look to 25 and 2026 for that. Now, lastly, a rule change. We've had this in place for about 150 years. I wasn't born then, but this is what I was told. So we saw the drama unfold. I was at this game, Carlton and Fremantle. The ball was touched. Matt Cottrell took a nice chest mark. Unfortunately, the ball was nicked on the way through. It was a solid outside edge off the head of a player, James Aish, I think it was. And he marked it, umpire missed it. Happens pretty much once a game in every game at every level across the country. We can live with it. We understand it. Jordan Clark couldn't live with it. Ex-teammate of mine. Played some footy with Geordie at the Cats, mostly in the VFL. But he couldn't live with it, and he barked and he yapped and he said whatever he said, and a free kick was paid. Now, I don't know what he said, so I don't know whether there was a free kick there or not. You'd like to think, generally speaking, so if I'm an umpire, and put yourself in the shoes of an umpire, if you're an umpire and you pay the mark and then you feel the remonstration from the Fremantle players and you probably have an opportunity to glance at the screen, I think you probably do get to the point where you're thinking to yourself, gee, that was probably touched. The way these players are going off and the way the crowd's reacting, it was probably touched, but I can't change my mind now. So I think you tolerate a bit more from players in that instance. You probably tolerate a bit more than you would, you know, in any other instance when a player is barking at you. So clearly Clark has said something that's out of line. It looked that way. But the issue for me and the reason and the part that I reckon should be changed is the double goal. So Cottrell kicks a goal. Clark says what he says. Free kick paid. Kennedy gets a shot from goal at goal. I don't know why it wasn't Cottrell's kick again, but Kennedy has a shot at goal from the exact same spot. The ball's dead when Cottrell kicks the goal. So the ball's dead. Ball is to go back to the center bounce. Why isn't that free kick taken from the center bounce? Now, I understand all over the ground, the free kick off the ball or in any circumstances to be taken by a player where it happens, where it occurs, or if the ball is behind where it occurs, it goes forward. So I understand that, but that's in live play. This is the ball is dead. It's been kicked through the goals and then it happens. And therefore, I think the ball should go back to the center. Carlton should have had that free kick from the center. Whatever happens from there happens. Agree? Disagree? Not sure. Let me know. Jump onto the socials and kindly let me know one way or the other. So that's a snapshot of Gather Round. Looking back, it was my first Gather Round. It will not be my last. The family are already keen to book in to the caravan park and get over there and have a bit of fun, try and watch five or six games of footy. Speaking of five, round five is fast approaching. Thursday night kicks off on Channel 7. The Lions and the D's, we've seen these two teams play some big games, some finals footy. Over the past couple of years, the Lions desperately need another win. They're okay against North. Not sensational. They're okay against North. This will be a sterner test because the D's are flying at the moment. Can't wait for Thursday night footy. Friday night will be just as good. The Dogs and the Dons. You feel the loser is going to pay the price from a media point of view. That's for sure anyway. So enjoy round five of the footy. Make sure you jump on the 7 AFL socials, taking a deep dive on the Port Adelaide midfield and their centre bounce work. Horn Francis, Connor Rosie, Zach Butters, Willem Drew, Ollie Wines, they are a powerful group, particularly those first three I mentioned, their ability to push their opponents inside the contest, get on the loose ball and run at the game and make life easy for their forward. So make sure you check that out on the 7 AFL socials. Make sure you subscribe to the field if you are yet to do so. Tell a friend, be a friend. Stolen that from Pat McAfee again. My name's Josh Jenkins. Enjoy the footy.